On behalf of Lineberger Information Services, welcome to the straddle rules of IRC Section 1092. In today's volatile stock market, it's important for all of us to understand what are called the straddle rules. And IRC Section 1092 of the code was brought into law basically to prevent individuals from locking in long-term capital gains while simultaneously taking advantage of short-term losses against those positions. And the straddle rules were designed to block the following type of tax strategy. So let's walk through this. On March 15, 1977, T buys X stock for $40 a share. T sells a call option on X stock with a strike price of $30 that expires at the end of the year and receives $11 on the same. Okay, so he sells that call option and receives $11 on that. The value of the stock drops to $34 a share. T sells the X stock, resulting in a short-term capital loss of $6. On July 2nd, however, 1978, the stock's price is still at $40, and T closes the call by paying the counterparty $4, resulting in a $7 capital gain, $11 received for the call minus the $4 closing payment. T has created a short-term capital gain in 1977 while deferring a short-term capital gain until 1978. T sells the stock, resulting in a short-term capital loss of $6. He actually recognized that $6, it would have flown into his tax return. On July 2nd, 1978, the stock is still at $40, and T closes out the call by paying the counterparty $4, resulting in a $7 capital gain for T. $11 received for the call minus the $4 closing payment. T has created a short-term loss in 1977 and while deferring a short-term gain until 1978. These are the straddle rules. And under the straddle rules, that type of transaction would be closed down. You would not be able to recognize that short-term capital loss until you recognized your capital gain. You have to match those up. Now, how do the straddle rules work? T holds two options or one option and a long position in stock. The easiest thing to show you is I hold 1,000 shares of Coca-Cola and I write an in-the-money call against Coca-Cola. And if I do that, I now hold the long position in the stock and I have written an option against that stock. The two positions vary inversely in value. When the value of one goes up, the other goes down. So you've hedged yourself. The offsetting position substantially reduces the risk of holding the other position. If the owner of a straddle closes out the loss position but continues to hold the gain position, the loss is deductible only to the extent it exceeds the unrecognized gain in the gain position at the end of the year. This happens all the time with collars. Let's say you collared the stock's going up in value, you do not want to sell the stock. So you're going to buy back the call option. And when you buy back that call option, you're going to have a loss. That loss is subject to the straddle rules and is not going to be deductible. On the other hand, the gain on the put side of the transaction will be immediately taxable short-term capital gain, and you get whipsawed. So you have to be very careful. Many times I've had clients do collars, and because of the straddle rules, we elected to sell the stock rather than to recognize a short-term capital gain. Now, any excess in that loss is carried forward to the following year and treated as incurred in the following year and deductible in the year where you actually recognize the gain. You're required to match those up. This all happens under Section 1092 of the code. Now let's go through another example. Assume the same facts in the previous example except the straddle rules now apply. 1092 applies. You realize a loss of $6 in year one subject to the straddle rules. You're not going to be able to take that loss. The unrecognized gain in the gain position is $7. Okay? Because of the amount of the loss, $6 does not exceed the amount of the gain. The loss is not recognized in year one. The loss is deferred. The $6 loss is carried over and deductible in year two as a short-term loss matching up against that $7 short-term gain. If you didn't recognize that short-term gain, that loss would continue to be deferred. Now, there are some exceptions to this. One of the exceptions is a qualified covered call. Generally, the straddle rules are going to apply unless you have what's called a QCC, qualified covered call. The exception, if the position is a qualified covered call and isn't part of a bigger straddle, but what do you have to do to be a qualified covered call? These are the requirements of a qualified covered call. First of all, the options trade on a national securities exchange that is registered with the SEC or a similar market. The option is granted more than 30 days before the day it expires, so you have to be at least 31 days out. If it is January 1st, the option cannot expire in January. It has to be beyond the end of January. The option is not deep in the money. We'll talk about what that means. The option is not granted by an options dealer. The gain or loss on the option is not ordinary income or loss. And the option must expire within 1 year after the grant. Okay, those are the rules. Now, what happens if you have a qualified covered call and you're writing out of the money options, you are not subject to the straddle rules. It's very complicated. It's probably an hour or 2 hours to learn that. There is a very good program to look at this on 21st Securities website if you need to learn more about this. Now let's talk about conversion techniques. Now what happens here, a conversion technique under the law is something Congress has set up that would turn what normally would be capital gain into ordinary income. And basically, if a taxpayer is in the same position of a lender and the return is in the nature of interest, but income would otherwise be capital gain, say a very deep in the money call option, conversion transaction would characterize the income as ordinary income, not capital gain. So it's a transaction in which substantially all the taxpayer's expected return is due to the time value of money, and that is a transaction to acquire property and simultaneously sell the same property or substantially identical property. It's a straddle, and any other transaction specified in the regulations under 1258. Amounts that would otherwise be treated as capital gain are now treated as ordinary income, up into the applicable imputed income amount, or AIIA. And that's the amount of interest that would have been accrued on the taxpayers invested at 120% of the AFR. Now, what's happening here? The easy example of this, if stocks trade at 100, and I write an option, a deep-in-the-money call option, at 20, $80 below the price of the stock, that would, in all likelihood, be viewed as a conversion transaction, and my gain on that would not be capital, but would be ordinary. Now, why is this so important? With a lot of clients with very large loss carryforwards, we're always looking for ways to generate capital gain. And what the government doesn't want is someone converting what would be a very low-risk, almost interest-like transaction into a capital gain-type transaction. On behalf of Leinberger Information Services, this has been Bob Keebler with the Straddle Rules of Section 1092. Thank you for joining us today.